Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you on board with us once again today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of ideological dogma. It's not a matter of denominational discussion with its rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It's not a matter of what someone might think or say. It's all dependent upon what the Word of God says. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And anything that we discuss in relationship to any of those three major issues in life are biblical issues. So the thing that I have said for so many years is that as believers and as Christians and as conservatives, we ought to face what the world is doing and saying by the light of what is said in the Scripture. It's what is called having a biblical worldview. We need to take that position that God said it, that settles it, whether we fully understand it or not. And all of the issues that we're faced with in life each day has already been covered in the Word of God. In fact, Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, truth is a lost word in the vocabulary of most citizens today. Most are not looking for truth. They're looking for some ideological, philosophical rhetoric, but not truth. Jesus says, when it comes to truth, Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so when we look at truth, the book of truth, the Word of God, then that gives us a compass to direct our lives and has an answer for living as we face each day. Ladies and gentlemen, today is President Trump Day. I don't know if you recognize that or not. Some call it President's Day. And so therefore, I have carved out of the President's Day the president that I think we need to recognize today, President Trump Day. And on President Trump's Day, I want us to be reminded that we have a rich heritage in our founding fathers and some previous presidents that depended on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Contrary to the freshman in the House today in Washington, what is her name, Cortez, she's the first congressperson I've seen. They insist on using all three names, Alexandria Cortez. But Cortez believes that we've got three branches of Congress. She is not even aware enough of how our government works, and yet she was elected. She was elected in a district where she has major, major numbers of illegal aliens in that district. It's made up of a district where multitudes are there that are simply wanting free stuff. And so she was elected overwhelmingly because of offering free stuff. Everybody wants free stuff. When she was asked on national television, how do you pay for that free stuff, free education, free medical, free income, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, she said, "Why, the government. We print the money." And she has no earthly idea of how government works. But ladies and gentlemen, the major, when we look at the three branches of government, we have the executive branch, and that's what President Trump is representing. He's the chief executive officer, if you please, for America. And as such, his major responsibility is to protect our nation. And that includes the border wall. I don't like this term border slats that they've come to be talking about today. It's a border wall that's needed. And it is my prayer that he will be able to do so. He represents American citizens, and his responsibility is to protect us from harm and danger. Contrary to the stand with the fake media and the socialists today and the liberal Democrats that are attempting to tear down and destroy America and the Trump presidency, it's a sham and a shame. And on President's Day, President Trump Day, I believe that it's time we recognize what he's doing for America and the benefit. I believe it's vital, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It's vital for our nation our cities and our states to elect good men, honorable men, Christian men, conservative men, to represent our positions in government, to represent the people, and that will place their faith and trust in God and in God's word. And may I just give you a few little statements, a few little quotes from presidents of past. And since this is President's Day, President Trump Day, let me give you a few quotes from some of the presidents of past and what they had to say about the Bible. The first and almost the only book deserving universal attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the scriptures. John Quincy Adams, our sixth president. The book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. Andrew Jackson, the seventh president. In regard to this great book, I have this to say. It is the best gift God has given to man. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book, the Bible. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president. Hold fast to the Bible as the sheer anchor of our liberties. Write its precepts in your heart. Practice them in your lives. The influence of this book are we indebted to for all the progress made in true civilization, and this we must look as our guide in the future. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is approached to any people. Ulysses S. Grant, the 18th president. The 23rd president, Benjamin Harrison, said, if you take out of our statutes, our constitution, your family life is taken from this sacred book, what would there be left to bind society together? End quote. Here's one that I find so fascinating. Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president, said, the Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God, the spiritual nature of the needs of man. It is the only guide of life which really leads to the Spirit in the way of peace and salvation. America born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelation of the Holy Scripture. And then we find a quote by Calvin Coolidge. The strength of our country is the strength of religious convictions. The foundation of our society and our government rests so much on the teachings of the Bible. That is by Calvin Coolidge, 13th president. Then we find Franklin Roosevelt that said this, the 30th president. He said this, we cannot read the history of the rise of a development of a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping and advancing the republic. Listen, where we have been the truest and most consistent in obeying its precepts, we have attained the greatest measure of contentment and prosperity in America. Harry Truman said this, the fundamental basis of the nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah, and from Paul. If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up as a totalitarian government which does not believe in the rights of anybody except the state, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I happen to believe that that's where we are today. I happen to believe that because we left the Word of God, we failed to put men of God in office, we've gotten to the point where the only one that feels that they have any rights would be the totalitarian governmental leaders in America and around the globe. Ronald Reagan said this, and may I quote, inside the Bible pages lie all the answers of all the problems man has ever known. It is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in its pages have a great meaning for each of us, for our nation today. The Bible can touch our hearts, order our minds, and refresh our souls. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people or to all people. And that's where we stand today, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reason on President Trump Day, I want to remind us that we need to put good men in office, men that love the Lord, men that will take a stand for right and for confronting evil and wrong. And may I remind us today, ladies and gentlemen, our primary election on March the 19th is coming up just around the corner. May I remind us also that we the people have the right to vote. We should vote for men of integrity, men that are going to take a stand for righteousness and for God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, in a moment we're going to be interviewing Henry Mooneyhan, the council candidate for District 14 here in Duval County for Jacksonville. But you can call in 401-1413. That is 401-1413. Get you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have dialogue and discussion together today. I encourage you to call in. Speak to our candidate. Ask questions and allow him to respond to your questions with the answers that I believe God would have us to have in any person that we put in office. Henry Mooneyhan, District 14 candidate for the City of Jacksonville City Council. Henry, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a delight to meet you and to be able to have this candid discussion. We've had a few moments before the broadcast to be in deep discussion about some of these major issues that are facing our city. And I don't know about others, but ladies and gentlemen, if you've not met Henry, it is my recommendation that you do so, and do so in a hurry, because our election is coming up soon. And may I simply say this, we need men like Henry Mooneyhan in office for city council. We need them in office of other places, but you can be only one place at a time. You can't be mayor and city council member. But anyway, I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through this dear brother in Christ in his leadership role as he's elected. Henry, I want you to take just a moment, and I've shared this with you, but our listeners may not be aware of it. I want you to take a moment to give kind of an elevator speech as to why you're running, something about your background. I am familiar with much of your background because it's so candid and so very well stated on your website. But I want our listeners to hear something about your background briefly and then something about your passion. Why are you running for city council and what motivates you? Share with our listeners that may not have met you, may not know anything about you.
Okay, thank you very much. And again, it's a pleasure to be with you today. I'm a native of Jacksonville. I was raised in the Springfield area. I was raised by a very godly mother. My dad came to know Jesus later in his life, but my dad was always a good provider. We were not rich people. There were five boys in my family, and my mom was not allowed to work out of the home as long as there were children there. I married the love of my life, Kathy. We've been married 47 years come March 31st.
Amen.
We have four children, five grandchildren, and we will have a sixth one somewhere around July 26th. So we're really looking forward to that.
Blessed man. Absolutely.
I have attended Lakeshore United Methodist Church since 1979. I was the lay leader there for 12 years. In the Methodist Church, the lay leader is kind of the liaison between the pastorate and the congregation. Mm-hmm. And it was a pleasure to serve in that capacity for all those years. I have been active in the community. I was the president of Argyle Area Civic Council on two occasions. I was on the board of directors of DLC, that's Disabled Learning Center over in Murray Hill, a very, very good school for children who are severely handicapped and cannot go into the public education system. I was the founder of the District United Methodist Men's Organization in Jacksonville. Jacksonville was the second largest district in the Florida Conference of the Methodist Church, and we had no United Methodist Men's Organization. Our district superintendent reached out to me, and for about a year I visited every church, gave a talk about men's role in the family, in the church, and in our lives, and we were able to get that organization going. And we were 600 strong on our very first meeting. And if you could have heard those 600 men singing, it would have just raised the roof off
blessing
of this building.
Absolutely.
I spent my working career in transportation. I started very early in life. I went a little bit to college, and then I had to find a job to help pay for that. And I started with a company called Gator Freightways as a part-time employee, and I spent pretty much my learning years in transportation in that company. At a very early age in life, I became first director of operations and then promoted to vice president of operations to the company. I stayed with the company just prior to their selling to another another truck lines, and then a group of us a few months later we got together with another concern, and we put together an organization that I was chosen to run on a day-to-day basis, and we were very successful with that. And we later merged that company and with two or three other truck lines, Smalley Transportation, Saia Motor Freight, and I became the region vice president of Saia Motor Freight. Got tired of traveling. I traveled from the time I was 29. I traveled, and one day I just decided, you know, I'm going to quit traveling and I'm going to spend some time with my family. So I took a job with Overnight Transportation that later was purchased by UPS, and I retired in 2013 as the manager for UPS Freight here in Jacksonville.
Very good. Well, I'm delighted to hear that. In fact, with that background, that gives you a pretty good running start with the understanding of business and the understanding of the financial mechanism and how the city ought to be run. Tell us very briefly, Henry, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Henry Moodyhan. Henry is the city council candidate for District 14. There are five running in that race, and so it is our prayer that God will place Henry in that position as a moral, ethical, Christian businessman to represent us on city council. Now, perhaps you live in District 14, and you've not heard from Councilman candidate Moodyhan. I pray that you'll listen today. You can call in at 401-1413, ask your questions, perhaps that you might have, about the operation of city council and why it is important. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're not in District 14, you still need to understand that we, a city council member, he may be representing a single district, but when he is on the city council of 19 members, he represents all of us when it comes to the representation of our city. So his candidacy and his election is primary and very, very important to all of us. But Henry, tell me three things. Let's just say that you're being introduced and you're going to speak. What are the three major things that you have a passion for that you want to see changed on city council?
Well, first of all, I knocked on about 65 doors before I decided to run, and I took a survey from voters in all parts of the district to see what their burning issues were. I feel like a city council person is a person who should listen to the people and be the representative of those people. By far, the number one concern in just about every house that I knocked on the door was crime. People need to feel safe in their homes. And unfortunately, people are not feeling safe. Now, it was not a series of bashing the sheriff. It was just a simple fact that we have crime in our city and we need to take different steps than we're taking so that we can start reducing that crime and hopefully get it less than what it is. A lot of people feel like crime's in check, but they feel like it could get out of hand very quick. The second reason I'm running is I have concerns about some of these, all of these, I call them gambling parlors. A lot of people call them internet cafes, okay? I think that in and of itself are areas where it can help cause crime to begin. I'm totally against that lifestyle.
Amen.
I don't think it's good for a community. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good for a neighborhood. The city council is supposed to be monitoring those as to how many open and where they open, and it seems like they're just popping up anywhere that they want to pop up. So we need to get a handle on that. We need to start putting the brakes on that, and it would be my goal that we would eventually start eliminating those from our local society. Probably the main reason I'm running is I've felt in the last few years that our city government and city governments around the country and even state and national governments, the elected officials have developed this mentality that they govern us. They do not govern us. They are supposed to represent us.
Yes.
That's why we call members of the House of Representatives the representatives.
Yes.
And I feel like city councilmen are supposed to be council representatives. They should represent us on the council. I do not have a whole laundry list of things that I want to come on the council and do. Every election cycle, we hear, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to fix infrastructure, I'm going to fix this.
And it never gets fixed.
And nothing happens. What I want to do, I want to get in and represent the people, and I want the people to have a voice. My plan when I'm elected to city council in Jacksonville is that I will publish a monthly newsletter. It will be electronic, so everybody can sign in and look at it that cares about it and wants to read what's going on. This newsletter is going to identify everything that is before the council that could affect District 14, either in a positive way or in a negative way. And then on a quarterly basis, I want to have town hall meetings. I can't remember the last time we've had a town hall meeting in District 14. I think it's been at least 16 years since we had one. And I feel like we need to have town hall meetings, publish where it's going to be, publicize it, allow the people time that they can know when it is, where it's going to be, and let them come in. And in these town hall meetings, I'm not going to tell the people what I think they want me to do. I'm going to ask the people to tell me what you want me to do. And then I'm going to take notes with my administrative assistant, whoever that may be. We're going to review everything. We're going to take it back to the different committees that are on the council, the appropriate committees that we would start this in. And then we will implement legislation or implement a plan to change legislation that adversely affects us. And then we would be a representative of the people.
That is where we, the people, have the say-so. Henry, I'm glad to hear you say several of those things. You touched on one thing that is very, very, very dear to me, and I would like for us to elaborate further for our listeners. You touched on the crime problem. Now, let me just set the stage before I ask the question. We've heard some of the candidates for mayor be in grave, heated debate about this. One of the candidates said that they, in fact, it's the mayor that said that he's put on 160 police officers, and he has. But at the same time, we've lost almost 300 police officers. So we've not helped ourselves in putting on 160. We're not keeping up to, not keeping abreast with the attrition rate that's taking place. So that's number one. When you look at Jacksonville, we've got 840 square miles. And 840 square miles, with the number of police officers we presently have, that means one officer about every 10,000 people. And when you look at the spread of the county, as far wide spread that it is, that makes it very difficult to get a police officer to come for an accident or for a report or for a burglary, robbery, et cetera, et cetera. So we need, number one, to increase majorly our number of police officers on the street. But right. Even if we do that, we can develop a police state, if you will. Henry, I believe that we can look at Chicago as an example. They have mega, mega numbers of police officers. It doesn't stop the shooting. But I think that what we need to do, my opinion, in our city government is to do something that will recognize that crime that goes unpunished will increase the exacerbation of further crime. And what we're doing, and the Bible is very, very clear, if justice is not meted out soon, it is justice denied. And so as a result of what we're doing, for example, recently there was the news, and I've forgotten what state it was, but a man had been on death row since 1985, was just executed January of this year. That is justice delayed. What we're finding is that we have families with no father in the home, where the fathers abandon the home. You have kids growing up where the mothers do not have any control. Have families growing up with kids growing up and being brought up where there's no moral, ethical input, no church relationship, no Christ is the center. So what we're faced with is we can try to police that. But my question is to any council person, any governmental office, how can we fix the problem? Because just additional guns on the street won't do it from the standpoint of legal guns. And yet we have Dennis Garrett and other city council members saying that we need to control guns. Well, I'm trickling down to this question. Do you believe that the answer to crime prevention is the infringement on our Second Amendment rights?
Absolutely not. I think we really get on a slippery slope when we start taking away our individual rights. We were founded as a nation under the premise that we had the right to protect ourselves and protect our homes. And I believe in the Second Amendment. I do not think that we should try to alter that in any way. I don't think we should try to rewrite the Constitution. I think that the Second Amendment needs to stay and stand firm the way it is. Let me address something about police officers, if I may.
All right.
I've done a lot of research, and we spend a whole year on a new candidate in the police academy. And the cost that I read was in the neighborhood of $150,000 to $170,000 per candidate that comes through the police academy. So we spend $170 on these officers. They get out, they start working, they get seasoned after a couple of years. And Jacksonville, the sheriff's office, we are one of the less paid police agencies in the state. And so they start getting job offers from other agencies close by. And listen, just think about it. If you're going to get up every morning and put on your badge and put on your gun and go out and stand the risk of getting shot because you believe in what you're doing, if somebody offered me $15,000 a year more to do that, I think I'm going to take them up on it and go get $15,000 more a year.
Absolutely.
So what we need to do with the police department, we do need to increase the number of officers on the street. But we need to do it in a way to where we make sure that we are being effective.
What we would call retention also.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We need to retain people. We've trained them. We've spent that money. And if we can reduce the turnover in our police force, we have a very young police force right now. And that's a good thing because these young men and women, they have a lot of energy. They're you know, they. I feel safer around some of them than I do some of these guys that are older men. And I think that if we fix that problem of not losing them after we've trained them, then we will get to a point where we're training less. We'll have more $170,000 per officers that we can put into the coffers to take care of the what the sheriff needs. And
so what you're saying is officers. As a city councilman in District 14, for District 14, but yet representing not only 14, but all of the city, you would be in favor of additional funding for Mike Williams' office as sheriff to provide the additional officers we need on the street, more boots on the street.
Absolutely. And I've shared with the sheriff just in conversations that we've had in political venues that we've been to. I've shared with him my support for the JSO. And for all first responders, for that matter.
Let's make a quick transition because of time. Henry, ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing Henry Mooneyhan, which is candidate for city council in District 14. We've got about 2 minutes left in this broadcast today. So, Henry, let me ask you a few very, very poignant questions that I think would be beneficial for our listeners to understand a little more about you. There's three house bills in Tallahassee, and I realize this is totally separate from the city council. But it lets the people know where you stand on these issues. House Bill number 195 is the Bible in Classroom Bill, where it will allow Bible to be taught as an elective, 9th through the 12th grade. Do you stand firmly behind that concept of getting the boys and girls in school better equipped to understand the Word of God?
Absolutely. You know, Bible was read every morning when I was in school.
Absolutely. Didn't hurt you, did it?
And it didn't hurt a bit. And I was in the band at Andrew Jackson, and our band director, he was a very religious man. He was a former Marine. And some mornings while he was reading the Bible, if we were cutting up in the drum section, we literally got the Word of God thrown in our face. You know, but I do believe that we should.
The other thing is, Henry, very quickly, we've got House Bill 235 that is the heartbeat bill. It is sponsored by the representative in District 1 out in Pensacola. It is the heartbeat bill. Mike Hill is the one that introduced the bill. He's got several sponsors and co-sponsors on that. Heartbeat bill says that life begins at the heartbeat. Well, I believe it begins at conception, but that's a starting point. Heartbeat can be 5 weeks to 12 weeks into the pregnancy. Are you willing to take a stand and say, I am going to stand for life, and I'm going to stand for the bill to be passed and not being having already been introduced, that you want to see it passed, and you'll let our listeners know that's where you stand. You stand for life.
I stand for life. And I don't think that we really know when life begins. I believe it begins at conception.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, Henry, our time has, as Little Boy says, collapsed on us, but I want you to say some things to our people. Speak directly to our listeners. Let them know how they can reach you, your email address, your telephone number, your website, how they can help you get elected as council member for District 14.
Well, my website is henrymooneyhan.com, and my email is hmooneyhan@aol.com. That's my personal email. And my cell phone number is area code 904-400-8844. The biggest thing that we need in our campaign, we have kind of stayed away from special interest money.
Yes.
And we need contributions. And we need contributions from people outside of District 14. We need contributions from everybody that wants to see a conservative Christian leader get on the city council. And they can contribute at henrymooneyhan.com, hit the donate button, and it only takes a few minutes and it doesn't hurt.
HenryMooneyhan.com, HenryMooneyhan.com. You can contribute $10 or $100 or $200, but HenryMooneyhan.com, that's for Henry Mooneyhan, for a councilman, District 14, the city of Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you to pray for Henry. Ask God to give him wisdom. Ask God to move the others. There's four other candidates that's vying for the position, and won't go into the details, but we need Henry Mooneyhan in that district, District 14. So pray for Henry. Ask God to bless him, give him wisdom each day, and give him victory. HenryMooneyhan.com. Contribute to that candidacy so that we can put good men, honorable men, righteous men in office to represent us in government. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.